think you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Theater 121 is very proud to be bringing live theater back to the Woodstock Opera House with Death Trap, playing Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, October 1st through October 17th. Joining me today to discuss this witty comedic thriller is director Mike Frail. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So now, I've seen the movie, I've read the script, and yet I really don't know how to describe the show without giving it away. So I'm going to throw that in your lap and let you explain what the show is about. Go for it.
Thanks. thanks. That's so easy. So Death Trap, I always like to preface it with that it was to this day the longest running comedy thriller on Broadway. It ran for about 5 years back in 1979, I believe. And 5 years for any play is extremely long. Death Trap in and of itself is about a struggling playwright, Sidney Brule, played by Matt Shufrider, who is looking for his next big hit. Him and his wife, Myra, played by Emily Thompson, have hit some financial hardships. And so Sidney gets sent this play from one of his students, Clifford. Excuse me, I don't know if you heard my cat there. Clifford, played by Ethan Sherman. And Sidney gets this idea that this play is fantastic. This is amazing. I need this under my name. And he gets this idea that I could just kill the kid.
Wow.
And that's kind of Death Trap in a nutshell. There's a lot of twists and turns. It is a thriller, but it is incredibly funny. Throughout this whole process, we really discovered so much more humor and how we can really put our own spin on Death Trap. I've seen the movie as well. I watched it while I was doing research for the play, and there were parts of it that I was like, okay, that's fine. I don't need this here. I'm going to do my own spin on it. And it really has. It's different. And I'm very excited to do a different take on really kind of a classic. I mean, the movie had Michael Caine and Christopher Reeve in it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful work of art. And I'm so excited to bring it to the world.
Well, now let's back up. Was this show on your radar for a while? Or did you just see the opportunity and say, oh, that would be a cool show to direct?
The latter. So I had never heard of Death Trap until I saw the posting for interviews go up. And I went to the library and picked up the script. And I just remember dying of laughter reading it. I was just like, this thing is so funny. I ended up splitting it across two nights. I did act one one night. I did act two the other night because I just wanted my brain to really take it in. To me, and this is another thing that I thought, I am a huge Aaron Sorkin fan. I'm a huge West Wing, Newsroom, Social Network, everything. And the writing is very Sorkin-esque.
Oh, wow. It is
witty. It is quick. And I told the actors day one, I'm like, we are going to put a different spin on this, and it's going to be the level of comedy that we do and the way we deliver the lines. And so as I was reading it, I had all these ideas popping in my head on delivery, but I also had this idea because it takes place in a study of this famous playwright. And I had this idea that, like, okay, this is the first show that we'll be performing at the Woodstock Opera House in almost 2 years. This really needs to be a return to theater. And I had this idea that the set just is this like theatrical hall of fame, all these weapons, all these posters, all this. And so I just was like, this is such a great show to come back to, really, and to welcome the audience back. So I just kind of dove right into that and was just like, this is any time that theater can make fun of, or any time that theater can incorporate theater into itself, I'm a huge fan. I really am. It is. Yeah, that's my answer there.
So what was the application process like for this? Did you come in and you present your concept, or how did that go?
You're asking me to dig about 4 months back here.
Oh,
that's hard. So there was a, essentially they put out a call for everyone, for the 5 shows that Theater 121 is doing. And I sent in my resume. I sent in a brief synopsis about who I am, listed the shows that I wanted. And then I got a call saying, hey, we want you to come in and interview for this and this. Please come with a vision and some ideas. And I just kind of walked in and I had a little whole Google Doc ready to go. And I was like, I wrote my own script, guys. So it just kind of one thing led to another. And here we are.
So what makes your version stand out? Is it the embrace of comedy? What makes yours stand out?
I think it really starts with the actors. Mm. I think the first thing that this is different is I ended up going with younger. And it really, I ended up going with younger, and we aged them up to fit the appropriateness of the characters, of course. But there was something that happened during the audition process and callbacks that I just saw a connection with some of the actors where I was like, this is a group of funny people who can do the drama portion of it. But I think what's different, one major difference in the production, is the fact that I have gone and cast people whose strength is comedy and really kind of redone the show in a way to reflect comedy. I'm going to be totally transparent. This was not the vision I walked in with. The vision I walked in with was dark. It was leaning into the thriller. It was leaning into Halloween because it's in October. It was leaning into all this, and the cast kind of turned the tables on me, and I was like, okay, I am no longer going traditional thrillers. This is now a comedy with a spice of thriller instead of a thriller with a spice of comedy.
Very nice. Okay. And so did that happen during the rehearsal process? At what point did you make that realization that, oh, I see this, it's going in another way?
It was definitely during the rehearsal process. I would say it has to be probably about two and a half weeks in. By that point, I had finished staging act one of the show. And my scenic painter and my tech coordinator came to me with some potential colors for the set. And I was like, initially I was going, like I said, I was going dark. I was like, I want darkness. I want thriller. I wanted to hide the comedy. And they were coming to me and they were going, well, this is in a study. So I am a director who loves input. It is never my way or the highway. It's my way or convince me that your way is the right way.
Okay. I like that. That's good. That's good.
And they said to me, they were like, but this is a study. These are the colors that, like, creativity. And plus, this is in the 70s. So there were brighter colors. And so I started to switch there. I was like, okay, this is not going to be a cohesive piece if the set looks one way and the actors are acting a different way. It's going to look disjointed. It's going to be weird. And so it was kind of right around the midway point in the process that I had been staging the show, going into the actors' strengths, and realized midway through, I was like, okay, this is definitely going more comedic because that's the strength of my actors. So it's got that same murderous thriller vibe that Death Trap has, but it leans, I mean, let's face it, the movie cast Michael Caine as the main character. I mean, he's a terrific actor, but we think of him in his more funny roles. So it was really when I started to see the set come together and started to talk to the actors and really lean into their strengths that I went, okay, I need to shift. And I think that's the sign of a good director and a good where they can see where they where they're like, okay, this is what I've got. I got to pivot because otherwise we are going to hit a collision course and this thing's going to be a train wreck. And luckily I pivoted and now the ship is going through the harbor properly.
I have a similar philosophy when it comes to directing. I say, if I can't hide it, flaunt it.
Mm-hmm. So definitely.
What would you say when you just got started in the process? You're just starting rehearsals. What did you think was going to be your biggest challenge?
Props.
Yeah.
Props, props, props. I have to give a shout out to Elaine Cashmore and Tracy Landman. They are my props manager and my tech coordinator. They have done something incredible. You look, the props list for this show is 6 pages long.
Oh, wow.
That is insane. And that is including set dressing. That's including working props, liquids, food. It is an insane amount of props. And I knew going into this show that technically, like, lights and sound was going to be more minimal. I mean, of course, it's in there, but it is less important, less vital to the show than the set and the props. And I knew because there was a litany of weapons listed. I mean, some of the craziest things, like we had, like trying to find an 18th century German Luger.
Oh, wow.
And stuff. There's just some insane props listed and said in the show that I remember sitting down after a rehearsal one night and going through with the two of them through the entire props list and going, okay, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. I need that. I need that. That would be nice. It was just, I think we took a 6-page props list and brought it down to 2. And it really makes me want to travel back in time to 1978 and go, how big was your set?
Wow.
Because
yeah.
It must have been, there must not have been a bare wall in sight. And honestly, it just kind of is one of those things that the props were just so extensive. And honestly, the fighting also kind of concerned me because it is fighting with weapons. And I'm going to be totally honest. I mean, I've directed my fair amount of shows, but stage combat is not my thing. So it was instantly like, I need someone with experience. I need someone to really learn, to really show us how to use these weapons properly. And it kind of turned into a collaborative effort. My fight choreographer, Shannon Day, came in and we kind of teamed up to make it all happen. And it's turned into an amazing show, but it was a daunting task to find a way to incorporate as many of those props and set dressings as possible. Because then you don't want to go from, this is a study, this is Sydney's sanctuary. And you don't want to all of a sudden go, okay, it's a study, it's a sanctuary, but there's 2 things on the walls, that's it.
Right, right. You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today I'm joined by Mike Frail, director of Death Trap, opening October 1st and running Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays through October 17th at the Woodstock Opera House. For ticket information, contact the Woodstock Opera House box office at 815-338-5300 or visit woodstockoperahouse.com. Now, Mike, how important is the set and not so much the set, but the set decoration sounds like it's really important to the story.
It is vital to the story. It is amazing how much things are referenced in the show. Like, there is a moment where where they're talking about where Sidney is talking to his wife about potentially using a mace to murder Clifford. And I go, okay, that means I need a mace because they point at it on the set. It is amazing how Ira Levin, the playwright, found a way to incorporate so many things into the script that makes me go, okay, I have to use that. Okay, I have to use that. It is vital because it is talked about. So much of it is mentioned. And I remember one monologue in particular where Sidney is explaining the set. He's explaining his home to Clifford. He's talking about all these different aspects of his home. And I'm going here and I'm going, okay, that means the set needs to be built to reflect the script. Usually the set guides the staging. But in this scenario, the script guided the set that guided the staging.
Gotcha. Kind of like Noises Off?
It is exactly like Noises Off, which, I mean, we're doing that later this season as well. It is so much like Noises Off, where there are pages of stage directions. And I remember being in blocking rehearsals just going like, do this as is, next page. it was just kind of one of those things where I'm like, I can't think of anything to do differently here. Why should I? Kind of.
Right. Okay. Well, now let's talk about the characters and the very talented actors that you have in playing those characters. So let's start with Sidney Brewer as the focal character. Who do you have playing Sidney?
Sidney is played by Matt, and I'm going to hope I get his last name right, Schufreiter. I think I had that right. Matt Schufreiter.
What does Matt bring to the role? What's the magic there?
For Matt, it has to be the show. You are right. The show is about Sidney and Sidney's journey. And Matt is such a comedic actor and has such incredible comedic timing that really, as the process went on, he's the main reason the show shifted from a thriller, from being about the thriller to being about the comedy. He brings such an energy and a commitment to rehearsals that I was like, this is what is needed in your lead. It is horrible when the cast is being led by, and not horrible, that's the wrong word to use, but it is unfortunate when the cast is being led by someone who isn't identified as the lead, because then the perception comes off that this person is responsible for getting this group together, and they didn't earn that perception. Uh-huh. So it makes me feel good when the lead takes the responsibility on his shoulders and goes, this is my job. I need to make sure this happens, especially when it's a character like Sidney, who when you see the show has the whole script on his back. He is the show.
Give us a brief description of who is Sidney.
Sidney is cunning. He is deceitful. He's a very disarming character, actually. I especially think of the dynamic with his wife, Myra. Myra will do anything for him. And Sidney is kind of like, yeah, my wife is here, but my success is more important to me. So I really think Sidney is very good at pulling the wool over someone's eyes, on coming off as one way, but always having this ulterior motive. And I have made a point in directing the show to ingrain that in Matt's head, in the actor's head, that remember your end goal is always in the back of your mind here. You've got a different plan than what Clifford is seeing. He thinks you are this mentor. He reveres you. And really, you're like, yeah, kid, whatever. Give me the script, and then you're going to be thrown down the fireplace or whatever. No spoilers. But very disarming character. And he makes you fall in love with him and at the same time kind of loathe him, which I think is awesome. it is perfect playwriting there.
And so now Sydney's wife, Myra, is played by whom?
Emily Thompson is playing Myra.
And tell us a little bit about the character of Myra and what Emily brings to the role.
Myra will do anything to help Sydney be successful. Even kind of a little bit of condoning of some of his fantasies. She knows who she is married to. She knows that she is married to this man who lives his life writing about murder. And she understands that, and she will do anything for him. And that's kind of who Emily is. Emily will do anything for the cast. She will do anything for her friends. She will do anything for her coworkers. And being in auditions and in callbacks, that's what I saw. I saw her extending a hand, saying hi to people, being the social butterfly, kind of. And that's what Myra is. Myra loves to throw dinner parties. She is the hostess with the mostest, as they say. And she's just happy when her husband's happy, and Emily's just happy when the people around her are happy. So that's really what Emily brings to the table, and what Myra does, really.
And the third lead is Clifford Anderson. And who plays Clifford?
Ethan Sherman plays Clifford.
I love Ethan. He is wonderfully talented. Tell us a little bit about Ethan and the role that he plays.
So we're going to start with the role he plays. Yes. So Clifford is Sydney's student. He attended this playwriting seminar that Sydney taught and is as much a fan of thrillers as Sydney is. He is essentially kind of the next Sydney Brule. Okay. He is Sydney's protege, or let me take a step back. He wants to be Sydney's protege. And there is a connection between the two of them that is necessary, is key to the play. Sydney needs to not only connect with Myra, but he needs to connect with the student. And there was a moment in auditions and in callbacks where I was watching Ethan and Matt act together, and I went, there was just a spark that happened that I went, that's it. That's what I need to work with. That is the end goal here, is these two. And Ethan has is very good at playing and being kind of the ingenue, the young, attractive, I always get what I want type of character. And that's kind of how Clifford's lived his life, is batting his eyes and all the women swoon.
Okay.
And Ethan is very good at playing on Clifford's flirty side a little bit. And it's fascinating to watch the dynamic with him, definitely.
And then we have Helga. Tell us a little bit about the character of Helga and who you have playing her.
Helga Tendorp. What can I say about Helga Tendorp? She is a German psychic. She is the Brule's neighbor. She is... For any Marvel fans out there, they'll appreciate this analogy that I have that I got last night from my costume designer after seeing Helga's outfit. She is a deranged pilgrim with a splash of Agatha from WandaVision. So, she's played by Nicole Lapis, and it is amazing when you see an actress walk in and own a role she did not expect to get. I remember calling Nicole and offering her the part, and she was stunned because she was thrilled to even get a chance to read Helga, because Helga wasn't even in her radar, because Helga in the script is 65, 70. She's an older woman. And I am like, there's no reason that this woman can't be a little bit younger. So yeah, Nicole just walked in and had this energy that honestly, everyone in the room, including myself, just fell in love with. And there's no way to not fall in love with this kooky German character who walks around in her bare feet feeling psychic vibrations from chairs and typewriters. I mean, who could not fall in love with the ridiculousness of that?
And then real quick, we're running out of time, but tell us a little bit about Porter and the gentleman playing Porter.
Porter is played by Frank Dello. Porter is Sydney's lawyer. He is a old friend of the family. And he is the one that keeps Sydney's head on his shoulders. While Myra may support some of Sydney's crazy ideas, Porter goes, okay, dude, pull it back.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Today I've been joined by Mike Frail, director of Theater 121's return to the Woodstock Opera House, Death Trap. The comedic thriller plays Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays through October 17th. For ticket information, contact the Woodstock Opera House box office at 815-338-5300 or visit woodstockoperahouse.com. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us, Mike, and we look forward to seeing the show. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, guys. Have a good day.